This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland, the Corey Majors, and the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How we doing this morning?
I might make it.
You're in trouble right now, aren't you?
I ate one of these pork rinds. And as I was walking, I guess there was some that was still dry in my mouth, and I inhaled it, and it's in my lung right now. So I'm trying to...
Oh, no. You have a cough.
My bad, guys. I was not able to... I'll be okay.
Alec, how are you doing, and are you ready to step up today?
I'm splendid, and I don't have anything stuck in my throat, so I'm in a great mood because of that.
It's the lung. It's the lung.
How does it get that far down?
I'm a deep breather. I've always been. They've always said that about me. I'm a deep breather. I used to take things to make my lungs bigger than everybody else's.
Did you ever hear that about Miss Piggy? Why she had trouble talking? Because she had a frog in her throat.
Stand in the terrible, morning,
dude. Yeah.
What?
There are children.
That is an accepted saying when somebody has trouble talking. All right, let's talk about the Cowboys. I didn't really know how.
How do you transition?
I didn't really know how to transition otherwise. All right, let's go to Peyton Turner. We can go back to Kevontae Turpin. I'm intrigued by what RJ and Bobby ask as well in terms of what do you think about what the Cowboys have done thus far going into the start of the new league year at 3 p.m. And I think for the most part, people are like, it's fine, it's whatever. I liked that they brought back Brian Anger, but I'm assuming that for most people, like, hey, we brought back our own punter, probably isn't a real needle mover, but 2 years, $6.4 million on that. What have you felt about the progress or lack thereof thus far?
For the, it's par for the course for the Cowboys.
Fair.
And their approach to this is very much, I don't necessarily need you to have the needle move during free agency. We're going to move it in the draft. And that's why, I mean, that is one of the reasons that Jerry hates drafting offensive linemen in the first round, but it is a...
He might not be okay. By the way, from the 817, that Miss Piggy joke took me way too long to get, but it was funny. And then from the 817, Kevin is inappropriate.
The way, though, that they do things is you're going to get excited about these draft picks. Why? Because they're unknown.
Yeah.
You don't know anything about them. Whatever we add in free agency, you're probably going to try to tear down anyway, but you have no clue how this guy's going to play in the NFL yet. So the hope of what they are is what excites us as fans. It's going to happen. You're going to get excited about a player. But Kevin, I do think the way that this offseason has gone, very similar to last offseason, right? Like, it's just kind of felt the same, has been very, maybe they're not in tune with the fan base and the fact that they're like still upset and frustrated from last year. But again, they base that on season ticket sales. Yeah. Hey, look, if we're still doing that, then we are doing enough to make people interested in coming to us. So we will continue to do this approach until we see that that's different. I don't, maybe it's not, hey, we're specifically doing this on purpose to make you mad, but it is definitely a, why would we change anything? Why would we do anything if it looks like what we base everything on is working for us?
So I wanted to go to A to Z Sports for a comment they got from a Saints beat writer about Peyton Turner, because Peyton Turner feels like the classic example of what the Cowboys go for in a free agent. Hey, do you have a high draft pick, preferably a first round draft pick that didn't work out and now he's on the cheap? We would like to talk to him. And you hear the same exact thing every frickin' time. Oh, we liked him a lot going into the draft. Like,
you can use that for sure.
Yeah, and it feels like they were heartbroken every single time that they didn't get to pick that player. So the rep from A to Z Sports in New Orleans said, Peyton Turner, what could have been in black and gold. Former first-round selection joins the likes of Marcus Davenport and Isaiah Foskey as early-round swings on potential by New Orleans. Simply put, the athleticism and flashes by those guys as college prospects have not shown up in the pros consistently at all. And for Turner specifically, and this goes back to when he was in college as well, the issue that you run into in terms of seeing any of that potential, seeing that athleticism displayed on the field, is he has a really hard time staying on the field.
Yeah, health is always a big factor. Being
the Blue Star special,
being smart enough to stay on the field is always a factor too. Like, that's the, you know, athleticism in college, everybody's athletic in college, but the ones that are that step above stand out. And the guys that go to the NFL that are super athletic like that, it's still there, but now they have to learn the game better. Like, they have to be, and you have to be a very smart player at that next level, because everybody there is the best athlete on the field.
Yeah.
So they're all, you're already like on a level playing field there. Now what's the edge for you? Can you be better at the next thing, the work that you're putting in? So that's the difference for these guys. And sometimes it may take not getting re-signed by your old team and having to have a change of scenery to become better at it. Or you have a couple flashes, three or four games that are good, and that's good enough to get you a contract with somebody else next year.
And
isn't that the Cowboys? Like, they want guys to come in here, prove themselves, earn a three-year deal. But for the most part, it's like, well, they weren't good enough to earn that three-year deal. That's why they give these one-year deals. Look, we're not paying you for a long time. We just want to see what you're capable of. No, so other teams didn't like you, so we're going to give you a 1 year, maybe get the best out of you this year. And if we don't think you're material for the Cowboys, we'll let you go and you'll move on to somebody else.
And I think this is the thing that bothers a lot of people from the 575. I'm not dismissing this at all. I totally understand this concern. Why create space not to do anything? Unfortunately, this is something that the Cowboys do frequently, where they flip the switches on their contracts that are kind of already essentially built into those contracts to give the illusion that all of a sudden they're going to have space. Now, is it because in their heart of hearts, they really think this is going to be the year we're going to find those free agents at the bargains or the good, not even the bargains, the good deals that we really think is worth it? Or is it just to get some attention, tinker around with a little bit of moves here and there, and then tell everybody how much salary cap space you have to carry over to the next season? That I can't say for sure one way or another. But the other thing I will say about that is it's not over. And if you go back to our crosstalk from last week with G-Bag, I know Zach and Broadus in particular were like, maybe you're going to be more in play on the B-level free agents. I know it hasn't felt like that thus far, but maybe the Cowboys will still be in a position where they'll make the one-year $10 million deal, or they'll make the two-year $18 million deal, which they haven't done for an outside player in 10 years. It's not over yet, but I understand 100% the frustrations about how you weren't in on player X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, the pool of the best players is gone. I mean, there's five maybe that you're like, oh, I would be really be interested in those that are left right now. That's about it. Otherwise, the pool is gone for you.
But you are never probably going to be in on those players, right?
You never. No, you know, the Cowboys are looking for young and cheap. The best that they can get, they want to find the youngest player at a certain position that it is. Javonte Williams is a great example of that. Yeah. He was the youngest running back on the list at the cheapest price. And so if you can do that, they're at an age where they're still impressionable. They're at an age where they're still motivated by what their future could be. Guys that are at the end of their career, like, they could quit at any point. We want somebody young, motivated, and, you know, really going after something.
Now, I want to go to something that Slater talked about after, I believe, speaking with Kevontae Turpin's agent. And the Cowboys told Turpin that he was a priority. And Turpin's always said he wants to put the special in special teamer. And he's now the highest paid special teamer in history. So he knows that the biggest thing is he has to stay elite on special teams. But one of the things that Slater and Derek Gilmore talked about was he also wants to be a piece to help put the Cowboys over the edge on offense. Now, I know you might hear that and think, I've been watching this for several years, and Kevontae Turpin still doesn't get a whole ton of run in the offense. But if you think he's the best of the best returner-wise, and I think that that's fair to say, and he is a competent enough wide receiver, $6 million per year feels like a really good deal. I think you have one of the top three punters in all of football. You got him back on a $3.2 million deal. I like that. But at the same point, I understand people are looking at it saying, no, you still have like $40 million of salary cap space. Couldn't you sign that Micah deal and get above $50 million of salary cap space and do something? I absolutely believe that they could if they wanted to, yet here we are.
I am. That conversation is a weird conversation. The Cowboys aren't picking up the phone and calling his agent and saying, let's get this done now, right?
That's what the agent said. Yes, that is exactly what happened.
They are doing that. Then why was the agent waiting? Is the agent like, you know what? If I wait another year, then we're fine. We're still going to get paid.
But I think maybe or else.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because he got $6 million. I think the second round tag was like $5.2 million.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking about Micah.
I was talking about Micah there. No, there's no chance that they're picking up the phone and demanding that. I don't, at least it doesn't feel like
that.
And
if you're the agent, you're in the same boat where you're like, why would I call them and try and do this now? My dude's getting paid no matter what.
Just wait. You're going to win the negotiation.
Yeah, and not even win it. I'll get more.
Yeah.
Because they're going to wait, and the price is going to go up. We just saw Myles Garrett push the price up.
Yep.
Somebody else could push the price up next year. And then me waiting was just fine, whereas the Cowboys should probably, in order to kind of help themselves out, go and say, let's get this done now, and now we can work with what we got next year.
Now, on the flip side, what will be sold by the Dallas Cowboys today, Corey? Do you know? What are we selling today?
Season tickets.
I mean, that's true. Compensatory picks, that is what's going to do the job and put the Cowboys over the top as they got not one, not two, not three, but four comp picks as we predicted 2 weeks ago.
Three in the fifth round and one in the sixth.
Exactly. So you got pick 170, 171, then they skipped you for a couple spots, 174, and then in the sixth round, you get pick 211. And I am not down on getting those picks whatsoever, but this feels much like some of the free agent moves, much like Peyton Turner, the move that the Cowboys are taking to the press conference. It feels like they're like, did you see how much better our team got in the last 48 hours? We got a former first round pick. We got four extra draft picks. That's five impact players we just added to the team for $3 million. And you're like, hold on. You just said a bunch of words quickly at me, and it feels like you might be knowing what you're talking about. But then I examine those words, and I'm like, maybe not so much.
Hey, man, the more fifth-round picks that you have,
that is better.
The better.
I agree with that.
The Dallas Cowboys history. I mean, look, go back to the Legion of Boom.
They got several of those people in the fifth round.
That whole thing was pretty much built off finding gold in the fifth round. Kevin, let's look at the fifth round over the last few years.
Oh, no. I knew you were looking that up.
Kalen Carson still out on that because last year didn't quite work out. Awesome Richards. His name's Awesome.
Yeah.
He's awesome. Matt Valetsko. Damon Clark. John Ridgeway.
Well,
Deron Bland.
Oh, yeah.
See, you need all the fifth round picks so you can get a Deron Bland and let go of John Ridgeway.
Okay. Well, first of all, you never, never should have gotten rid of John Ridgeway so Dak Prescott could sit in a meeting for games that he was never going to play. I like having the extra picks. That is nothing but a positive. But what I don't like is it feels like the Cowboys are pointing over here and being like, look at all the comp picks
That's what they'll do. Yeah, we got a lot of comp picks, and we're going to do the best we can to use those and try and fill out this roster. That's, Kevin, where they are is soft rebuild mode. Look, we have to, the bottom of our roster, we have to churn. Hopefully, in the first couple of rounds, we can add a couple of really talented players that could be part of the future of the Cowboys. That's about it.
And from the 817, I said this last week when he got released, are the Cowboys going to go after Von Miller? For sure. So
no, yes, they're not.
Oh, yes, they are.
No.
Think about what's going to happen. You have a future Hall of Famer. We just added to this team in Von Miller. We just picked up another first-round draft pick. We just picked up four more draft picks, and we spent $9 million. Oh, my goodness gracious. Like, what a time to be alive.
And we still have money left over for...
to roll over for next year and for the practice squad.
Hold on. Somebody said, don't think I can take another day of Corey sugarcoating the reality of the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, no.
What the hell did you hear me say today? What the hell did you just hear me say? This team goes out there and is cheap a lot of times. I've said that. They're doing the best they can, what they tell us, to use the picks that they have, even though they know they put themselves in a bad position. I'm not sure how I'm sugarcoating anything for you, unless that's just you that has some sort of thing in your mind that that's what I do. But otherwise, listen closer so you know what I'm saying. So that you know that I'm saying things about this team that are judging what they do while at the same time being realistic about what they are. Coming up next in the KNC Masterpiece.
It's time for NFL overreaction or reality. And we'll give Corey another chance to bash the Cowboys. Next on the Fan.
First down at the 30. Sanders takes his time. Lost one in the air. Caught. Touchdown, Colorado.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Got a text back from one of our responses from the 903. Ha ha, y'all are spunky today. I think part of the reason is my wife wants every single moment of our calendar to be filled.
Oh my gosh.
And
dude.
I want to do nothing.
I want free time.
Yes. Free time's the best. Also,
what do you do in your free time?
You eat popcorn jelly bellies, which my wife also thinks are disgusting. And I think those are objectively the best
ones. Those are the best jelly beans out there, the popcorn flavor one.
Thank you for recognizing that. All right. Let's do some NFL overreaction or reality. NFL overreaction or reality. If you had to have Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers as your starting quarterback to begin the season, you would just give up.
No. I'm not going to give up.
Not even a little bit.
I'm concerned about a lot of things, okay, if that's the case. Russell Wilson isn't as accurate as he once was. He doesn't see the field the way that he used to either. And he holds on to the ball too long instead of just taking off running. And it makes sense. His career has been being a quarterback that gets hit and he doesn't want to get hit anymore. So he's like, I don't want to take off running. I want to throw this ball. But he just doesn't do it enough. Aaron Rodgers still thinks he can get away at the last second, and he can't and doesn't realize that. So he holds on to the ball too long because he thinks at the last second he'll get away. So I'm not saying I would just quit the season, I would have a lot of concerns about what direction we're going.
So, Alec, I want it on the record as I would just quit the season,
okay,
and I would give up. If you had to have Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers as your starting quarterback, like the Giants or Steelers probably do, would you just give up?
Sounding like evil John Cena now, just give up. Yeah.
Yes.
I would give up for a few different reasons, because I think there's only a few teams that really ever needed to consider that, and one of them, in my mind, they looked at the quarterback landscape, and this is the Vegas Raiders I'm talking about. They looked at the quarterback landscape,
yes,
and they said, okay, we can draft a guy, we can get into a bidding war for one of the top free agent guys, or we can avoid this crummy situation altogether and go trade for a solid starting quarterback that doesn't want to be on this team anymore. What do? They do the smart thing. They give up a mid-round pick for a quality starting quarterback in the NFL to avoid that situation altogether. The other teams kind of realize we might not be winning this year, so we're kind of okay with pretending like we care by signing one of these guys, and that's the Steelers and the Giants in my mind. So I say, yeah, you just admit it. We're done. We're not doing anything productive here, so let's just, you know, get somebody that will at least get people interested for 3 or 4 weeks.
So the betting odds as of last night, Russell Wilson was the favorite to be the Giants quarterback, followed by Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers was favored to be the Steelers quarterback, followed by Russell Wilson. So they're like, hey,
one of these guys,
pick one of these crap options and move on with your life.
Is that the Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, aren't they going up in the odds? Like, aren't their odds getting better
because
to win the Super Bowl?
Unconventional approach to free agency.
They're like, we don't have a quarterback right now. That's, look at our odds.
That's how much they believe in them. Overreaction or reality? Shedeur Sanders will fall out of the top 10 in the NFL draft. So there are a variety of mock drafts. I know For the Win had one with Shedeur like in the 20s. There's been a variety of CBS had one where he started to drop. Do you believe
all right.
It could actually happen where he falls out of the top 10?
It's wild to think that it could happen. Like, just because of he was all season long, he was pretty much, he's going to be going number one.
Yeah.
And then obviously Travis Hunter kind of took that over and was like, I'm the best player, dude. Don't worry about it.
That's true.
And then, you know, Cam Ward was kind of a, hey, you know, keep an eye on Cam Ward, though. And now he's become the number one overall guy. I'm very fascinated where Shador goes, because what he did in the combine, that was enough to make them say, whatever we saw on the field, this dude is just, he's not worth it. Now, my question, though, is there's no way, no way. You just said in the 20s that if he got to 12, the Cowboys are saying we need a quarterback, right?
Bonus question. NFL overreaction to reality. Cowboys fans, for the most part, would be excited if the Cowboys took Shador Sanders at 12. Like, let's say in this magical scenario, he's still there, no trading up, no anything like that. Do you feel like Cowboys fans would be happier? Be like, what the hell? We have a lot of starting holes to fill.
Yeah, that's what I don't know. Okay. Because I feel like Jerry would look at it and go, I mean, he's right there.
Yeah.
And if I ever want Dion to take over for Shaddy, then all I got to do is say, your son is here. I've done it. That's what I don't know. Because that wildcatter still exists somewhere in him. Would he be willing to say we're going to find that glory hole or not? I don't know. I don't know if I would be excited about it. Other than because you're like, you got so much money invested in the quarterback you have. Is this the round you needed to do this in?
Yeah.
You need a running back. You need a cornerback. You need a safety.
Alec, in this magical world where Shador Sanders is available at pick 12, would Cowboys fans be happy or like, what the hell if they took him?
Think it's going to be very split. There's going to be a massive group of people that's going to be like, okay, we finally have a resolution that makes sense post Dak Prescott. Then there's going to be the group, which I would kind of fall into, not out of like a Dak Homer stance, just out of a controversy stance. Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Why are we doing this right now just because his last name is Sanders? You know, that's what I'm looking at, kind of what Corey was saying. You know, like, he's right there. We have the chance to do this and take all the headlines. So why not? But it does kind of intrigue me to think that maybe teams in the league, including the Cowboys in this magical fantasy scenario, maybe they look at what the Falcons did and say, that's not an awful idea if you're a team that likes to hang around the rim.
Yeah.
If there's a quarterback you really, really like and you have a veteran guy on a big contract, you just say, hey, let's take this guy in case things don't work. And look how quickly it didn't work in Atlanta. So maybe teams start that approach, and maybe in this fantasy scenario, it starts with Dallas.
NFL overreaction or reality, you believe Daniel Jones can beat out Anthony Richardson for the Colts starting quarterback job?
No. On overreaction.
Okay.
No. Daniel Jones is terrible. He is a terrible quarterback.
How good is Anthony Richardson?
Better at times.
Okay.
Like, Anthony Richardson loves to throw the deep ball.
Is he
Daniel
terrible?
Daniel Jones cannot throw the deep ball.
Okay.
So you at least open up space for Jonathan Taylor when you know that that dude might just chuck it 80 yards down the field.
Okay.
That's about it. Other than that, and Richardson, well, they're really both really good runners. So, I don't know. I just think that Richardson throws a better deep ball and Daniel Jones cannot get the ball to his receiver downfield.
Alec?
I'll say, you know, I'm going to say reality. I think he can, and it's not because purely of on-the-field stuff. I think it might just be an overall buy-in and commitment issue that could do that. Maybe they just say, like, Anthony Richardson looks lost. He looks like he doesn't understand what's going on. He looks like he doesn't want to be out there. So let's put the guy that's at least putting in the time and seems comfortable. You know, if it's a comfort thing, if that's what it comes down to, I think it could be Daniel Jones. And it's more of an indictment on the mentals of an Anthony Richardson, not the X's and O's comparison of the two. And I think that might have really irritated the whole tapping the helmet and coming out of the game. I think that might have irritated the staff in the front office to the point where they are bringing in a veteran quarterback that was once upon a time on a huge contract and saying, let's take a flyer on the guy and call it a competition. They're openly calling it a competition for a reason.
NFL overreaction or reality, teams are and should be concerned about Ashton Gentry's size. Now, we talked about this a little bit coming out of the combine. He measured smaller than I guess people thought that he would height-wise.
5'8".
5'8 and 211. And some people are concerned.
What is 211? Oh, wait.
Yeah.
I thought he was like, that was in a quarter of an inch. I was like, 211th? That's not a thing. But I should have just trusted. Never mind. I definitely get it. Mm-hmm. I've because every time I see 5'8", the first thing I'm thinking is, and 211th? No, I see it, my first thought is definitely
Barry Sanders.
He's undersized for what you want if you have a power running game. But then you watch him play. And the question you have is, all right, whenever he put that dude down with his left hand and a stiff arm, or he was about to get tackled and he rolled that dude off of him, is that because he's strong or because none of these other dudes he's going up against are as strong as him? Well, whenever that he gets to the next level, is it going to translate? Man, I'm just trusting Broadus. He's like, I'll leave that dude on the field every down.
Yeah.
And so if you think that dude can be on the field every single down, including passing situations where you can throw him the ball out of the backfield, but you can also rely on him to be a pass blocker, then I'm trusting what Broadus is telling me on that. The player is an absolutely special player with the ball in his hands in space.
NFL bonus overreaction or reality. You would be irritated if the Cowboys traded up to draft Ashton Jeanty.
I would. Because where they are, they're still going to get a talented player. And they can still get a running back in their draft. So I have not fallen in love with a player at 12. And I very rarely do. And if it's number one, I'll fall in love with a player for that specific pick. But anywhere past like 5, I'm not falling in love with a player and saying I have to have him. I have to move up, especially at 12. Because you're still going to get a really good player. Probably somebody's going to screw up and not take a top 10 player. And that person's going to fall in your lap.
Alec, what say you?
I'm going to be irritated. Yes, that's a reality. But I wouldn't be if this draft didn't have guys existing like Omarion Hampton, Caleb Johnson, Travion Henderson, some of those guys. It's a really deep running back draft. It is a very talented class. If it wasn't that good, then I'd say, yes, you're taking what could be a generational type running back. I'm okay with it. But there's so much value in this draft at that position. I'm fine with whatever highest ranked running back you have in the second round.
Now we're going to play some audio for this next overreaction or reality. Very rare in an NFL overreaction or reality. Give me cut number 12. Let's go to Amon-Ra St. Brown talking about the Chicago Bears.
Bro, I feel like the Bears have unlimited money. This is crazy. They're just signing new for like 40, 50
boom,
million
boom,
dollars.
Boom. Hey, yeah, they're trying to make shake.
Boom. Jonah Jackson, bang. Drew Dahlman, bang. Deo, I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
No, no, give it a try.
Deo Adeyingbo. Another, I saw.
Adeyingbo.
A crazy amount of money. Grady Jarrett, bang. Like, they're just breaking everybody off.
They're trying to get an O-line for Caleb.
They have unlimited money. What the f*** is this?
I mean, their cap space is probably... They probably have high cap space.
Well, you can go ahead and stop it there. So NFL overreaction or reality, the Chicago Bears having, quote, unlimited money will get them to the playoffs next season.
I think so. I mean, the biggest factor that was a problem. Now, again, Eberflus put together a good defense up there. Go back and watch their games last year. They were a tough defense. Their offense couldn't do crap. Go watch the Washington game. Their offense was terrible in that game. I think the max score on that was 11 points. It was weird. So and until the Hail Mary, the offense was very poor. Their offensive line couldn't protect Caleb Williams long enough. Caleb Williams does need to get rid of the ball faster. That's a fact.
I agree with.
They're in. I think Ben Johnson is going to load that offense up, and they are going to look good. I'm interested to know how their defense plays. Compared to what Eberflus had them rocking with last year. But everybody should be afraid of the Bears.
Yeah, this is going to be a reality simply because the NFC is so mid.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what Jerry likes to say about, you know, keeping his team hanging around the rim. Feels like there's a lot of teams that are in that mentality right now in the NFC to the point where one good run can catapult you pretty much as far as you want into the NFC playoff picture. So I think, you know, one good end stretch of the season for the Bears, they've done enough to keep Caleb on his feet to where he can work his magic. They've done enough on defense to where it still looks like, it, at least on paper, it could be a Matt Eberflus type of defense just because of the personnel that they have. And the NFC is just so wide open right now. I think they're going to be really fun to watch this year.
Let me throw one more out, kind of based off of our first segment. NFL overreaction or reality, you ignored the salary cap space and your hopes and dreams and knew the Cowboys wouldn't do much early in free agency.
That's
a reality for me.
Yeah, that's reality for me too. The there's part of you that has this glimmer of hope, but I go in because I think anytime you go into anything, you're like, I hope for the best.
Sure.
Even though you have to take in the reality of what it is. And the Cowboys have shown you what they are over the last two decades. They've told you, this is how we do offseason. Now, you don't expect any different. They even told you before offseason. They said selectively aggressive. They just said they could have just said selectively, and that would have been the accurate word.
Yeah. Because
there was no aggression here.
Right.
What was aggressive? They aggressively went after Jordan Lewis? No, they didn't. They aggressively went after Osa. That's
true.
That was select. I guess that could be considered selectively aggressive. But other than that, yeah, you have to go into it with the real expectations of the precedent that they've already set. The Cowboys have told you who they are.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens whenever you just have no expectations whatsoever. I'm not surprised. I'm not caught off guard. I'm not upset. This is exactly what I expected. This is a reality. It's the same thing every year, and you become numb to it once you actually acknowledge it. So, yeah, totally expected it.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets, where we got unbelievable spring training stats. Next on The Fan.
Leiter posted zeros in the 6th, 7th, and 8th innings. And here, a slider down and in gets Raley swinging. So Raley strikes out to start the top half of the 4th. Leiter wins this battle.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Let's talk about the Leiter coaster, because it's time for Baseball Nuggets, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC and repair. Corey, did you see the Leiter coaster yesterday?
I did see, well, I didn't watch it, but I did see some highlights from it, and I was able to see how things went down.
Now, that's a key part, to see how things went down, because if you saw a highlight, I could have shown you a highlight that made it look like Jack Leiter was the most devastating pitcher that has ever thrown in spring training. Or I could have shown you highlights that you're like, the hell's happening here? So here's what happened.
Aren't we glad that guys like Fenstermaker and Chris Young are watching the whole thing?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Man, what a terrible GM you'd be if, like, all right, sorry, mixtape. I think there's some really solid things to work off of here. Oh, man, maybe that was the Nico trade. He just saw an Anthony Davis highlight video, and he was like, this dude is unstoppable.
And a Luca lowlight video.
Yes.
And he was like, look at that guy drinking after he wins a Western Conference Finals.
And then he thought after a layup, he like started chain smoking for a second. He's like, hold on, was he doing hookah there? All right. So in his first inning, Jack Leiter, 2 walks. Ooh, not great. Second inning, 3 hitters, 3 strikeouts. Here's how he struck them out. First hitter on a 90.6 mile per hour changeup.
Oh, is that his new changeup?
Yes.
All right.
So maybe the next guy's looking for the off-speed stuff. He gets struck out swinging on a 99.2 mile per hour fastball. So the other guy's like, you know what? That's fine. I'm ready for your way slowed down changeup and your heater fastball. Then Jack Leiter says, what if you get an in-between changeup that's 94.3 miles per hour? That person also struck out swinging. All 3 of the people struck out swinging at pitches that were 90, 99, and 94.
And that, again, that goes. We talked about this, maybe it was last week or earlier this week. Jack Leiter's whole college career was, he became better than Rocker that last year because his swing and miss, his whiff rate was better.
Yeah.
That was like that. It was such a fine line between those two. They were pushing each other to see who the best was, and it was such a fine line that was the number. You had to go find that number. He has stuff that can do that to people.
For sure.
He has to, him and Rocker both have to find their control consistently, though. And that's the only thing that's going to keep them up in the big leagues.
Don't listen to this next 15 seconds, though.
I already know.
In the 4th inning, He got pulled from the game after he had three more walks. So, didn't get out of the fourth, had five walks in just those two innings. So, it was the amazing flashes of where did your control go? And holy cow, nobody is going to be able to hit this guy. All right, let's stick with spring training. Let's talk about amazing statistics from spring training. Let's start with this. Bradford Doolittle gave up 110.7 mile per hour exit velocity in Chris Bryant's first extra base hit this spring. Now, Chris Bryant, if you didn't know.
Say 170 miles?
No, 110.7. If it was 170, it would have like.
That's why you can understand why I was
the
so.
Wall in the back. That would have been amazing. Sorry, that was the stat of Bradford Doolittle, and that was Chris Bryant who hit that. Now, Corbin Carroll. His OPS this spring, 1.444, which is...
That's terrible.
What? That is amazing.
1.44. Okay, I thought you said 0.144.
No, that, yes.
Jeez.
That's
pretty special. Corbin Carroll's a talented player. You know, and they got their revenge against the Rangers recently, too. So
I don't know if winning in the spring training game...
That was sarcasm.
...revenge. I took it as serious, you jerk.
He's a good player, dude. That's an impressive number. I wonder if he can start the season that hot. I love when you're about 15 games into a season and somebody's got some sort of streak going that everybody gets excited about. I love those things.
Okay, then I think you will enjoy this statistic. What do you think are the highest spring training batting averages over the last decade?
650.
Ooh, that was really close. Right now, Curtis Meade is hitting 696.
Oh, wow. Nice.
That is among the highest leaders in the past 5 years. Such noteworthy players as Max Schrock, Kevin Newman, and Christian Encarnacion Strand. It's a hyphenated name. So do you think Curtis Meade can be as good as Schrock,
yes.
Newman, yeah. And Encarnacion Strand.
1,000% I believe.
Okay.
Because I have never heard of any of them.
That's fair.
Have I heard of any of them?
Probably not.
Yeah, so.
So, Curtis Meade was a top prospect at a time for the Tampa Bay Rays. Fell off, but he's put on 20 pounds of muscle, gotten back in the good graces of the Rays, and is hitting .696.
That's impressive, man. Good for him.
Absolutely.
You going to make the roster, you think?
I think he might.
People like batting average nowadays.
I don't think that's true. I think he might because of the muscle, not because he's hitting .696.
Gotcha.
All right. But that's not the most impressive stat on this list. That would belong to Alex Call, the 30-year-old outfielder. His walk to strikeout ratio this spring training is 9-1. He has 9 walks and 1 strikeout.
That's good.
That is very good.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting on base. I know that, like, again, the league doesn't seem to care much about guys who just get on base anymore.
Yeah,
it's hit home runs and strikeout. Like, those are the two options. We've seen a little more of different style there, but you're going up to the plate. You're patiently forcing pitchers to throw lots of pitches. I'll take a player like that on my team. Now, I do have to see that he can hit at some point. I can't just be like, hey, dude, you only walk whenever you go up there or strike out. At some point, I do have to see him hit the baseball.
This one might agitate you a little bit. Do you know that Max Scherzer fastball over the weekend hit 94.5 miles per hour? That's 2 miles per hour faster than his fastball average when he pitched with the Rangers.
Because he was never healthy. Like, he was never healthy for the Rangers. He went out there and did, man, look, game 3, was it? He gave everything he had for however many innings. That was all he could do. But he was never completely healthy. We never got to see the true Max Scherzer here.
Then one more spring training statistic of note for you. The Chicago Cubs are hitting 309 as a team. That is 28 points higher than any team in spring training. Are you impressed by spring training?
Dude, 20 points higher is always
28 points higher.
I mean, I said 20, you know, so they're like, that's just imagine what almost 30 is.
And you remember they picked up Kyle Tucker and he started off spring training 0 for 20.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Dude,
it's tough.
I'm trying to come up with the word because hates are really, I don't hate Kyle Tucker. Disdain doesn't seem right.
Okay.
Loathe. I just saw that in a movie. So I'm trying to figure out the right word. I don't like Kyle Tucker. He was a nuisance when he was an Astro to the Rangers. He was just a nuisance. And then we got the best of him when we went to our World Series. So I felt really good about that. So now that he's somewhere else, I guess I can feel okay for him. But 0 for 20, I laugh in his general direction.
Okay. There you go. And I guess
I'm laughing at his misfortune.
That's fine.
Sorry.
And the Cubs still did well even without that.
Yeah.
By the way, Vladimir Guerrero, now we're getting more information on what he was looking for. He said he was not asking for $600 million. And then remember, he was like, the Blue Jays had their money, their offer. I had my offer. We just didn't come together.
Isn't he seeking $500 million,
though? He's looking for $500 million. However,
he wants like a 50-year contract,
that's
too.
That's $500 million in present-day value.
And American money, probably.
So, ooh.
I think the Canadian dollar is like 70 cents to our dollar.
They might not have $500 million. I'm not sure. So what he's looking for, though, is a contract with no deferrals. He's like, I want $500 million now dollars, not deferred dollars, which would essentially lower the value of the contract.
That seems, well, I don't understand that completely because the deferred money means you're set.
Yes.
The money's going to be there.
Yes.
And it's guaranteed. I am kind of curious hearing the baseball people start talking a little bit about the new CBA and how aggressive they're going to be with it.
That could be concerning.
And how they want to put a salary cap that's like the NBA and the NFL on there. I don't know how players are going to feel about that, but I wonder how that would affect this deferred money kind of style. If they would say, you know what, we're never doing that because it'll affect our salary cap situation.
It's interesting. I guess that's the job of the agent. You have to know what you're worth, but I'm with you. It would be tough for me to be like, all right, so you will give me $500 million. I just won't get it all right now, but I will get $500 million. And they're like, yeah, you will.
Do you believe it?
I do. It would be pretty shocking.
You want to see it in the account.
I was about to say it would be shocking if the Blue Jays went out of business, but I guess it's kind of what happened to the Expos. So.
Oh, yeah. Somebody was. Nah, we got to go.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Texas Rangers questions and answers. I've got questions. Hopefully you guys have answers, because if not, it could be a short segment. Next on The Fan.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.